Now let's return to the passage we read. And we want to focus on this story of Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. It's Mark's gospel that tells us, gives us his name, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Some months ago, I was listening to Roger Carswell. Roger Carswell is an evangelist, and he was speaking at the online Faith Mission conference, the April one they have at Easter. And he said something that really struck me. He confessed that although he has been working in evangelism for more than 40 years, the last 4 years, two, three, 4 years actually, of his ministry have been the toughest as far as reaping is concerned. By reaping, of course, he means seeing people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when someone says something like that, of course, it gets my mind going. Well, why is that? What would explain that? What's happening? That is so. And some of you are like me, old enough to remember back 40, 50 years. And you can remember missions, maybe in Lecumfer, place packed out. Maybe in the Union Hall in Desert Martin, packed out. God really spoke to me very powerfully in 1970 in a mission up near us, where the Spirit of God was really at work powerfully, and you could have heard a pin drop as a preacher preached. That's a bit more rare these days. Roger Carswell defined evangelism like this. Evangelism is proclaiming the gospel to non-Christians who are listening. Who are listening. Who is listening? Now we have the internet, and we're hoping a lot of people are listening. We're trusting they are. David Robertson is a Free Church of Scotland minister. He now lives out in Sydney at the moment. He was in the Free Church up in Dundee for a number of years. And he said this, and this struck me. He said, the greatest problem facing the Christian church today is not that our message is rejected, but that it's not heard. It's not heard. Now, he didn't elaborate on that, I don't think, or at least I didn't follow it, but you get the idea. Somehow, it's not being heard. It's not getting through. Not communicating. And here in Northern Ireland, you know, it's the same, isn't it? Especially in this Western world, where it appears that fewer and fewer people are actually listening. And of the fewer people who are listening, not many are actually hearing or responding positively to the message, the good news of the gospel. And it's such a good message, such good news. And those of you who are here this morning who know Jesus, you know it's good news. It's been good news for you. And so our desire is it becomes good news for others. I pushed the research a bit further and I was trying to find out if anybody could help me. Came across John Piper. John Piper, as you know, he's retired now. He was a pastor of a big church in the U.S. And he sees the present situation as a manifestation. This is how he describes it. A manifestation of an age-old enslavement of the human heart to three things. Three things. A fresh manifestation, if you like, of three old things. First one is self-deification. Self-deification. I will be my own God. I'll put it another way. I'm the master of my own fate type of thinking. Maybe you've met somebody like that in the workplace. That's their philosophy. That's how they think. Self-definition. I will define my own essential identity. There's a lot of that around these days. Identity issues. Don't you tell me who I am. I'll define that myself. Self-determination. I will decide my own truth and my own morality without deference to any authority outside of myself. In other words, I'll decide what's right and wrong. Now, you can evaluate whether you've met anything like that before. or are meeting anything like that where you live or work or in your family. Is there that kind of spirit around today? Is that what's going on? Is this what's creating the barrier, if you like, putting up a block to the message of the gospel getting through to folk? Now, all that could discourage you, in a sense. But that's not why I've come. I haven't come down here to discourage you, absolutely not. What I want to do this morning for a few moments is to look at the story of Bartimaeus and pick out five stages through which Bartimaeus went to have his life transformed. And these five stages are essential, I think, or are part of the core of what goes on when someone, for someone to come to Jesus. Now, I know we're all different, and if everybody here who knows Jesus were to stand up and tell us how they came to know Jesus, your stories would all be a bit different, wouldn't they? But the essentials would be the same. We go through stages in our journey, our spiritual journey, to discover who Jesus is. So let's think about the first one. How does someone come to know and put their faith in Jesus? It involves a journey. It involves a journey from darkness to light. Absolutely, from darkness to light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." So coming to Jesus involves coming to the light. It's a journey from darkness to light. Jesus is passing through Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to die up there. It's the Passover. It's near the end. And he tries to explain to the disciples what's going to happen. But even they don't get it. They can't quite grasp it either. They too were blind. So let's think about these five stages through which Bartimaeus went and through which I believe folk go in order to come to Jesus. And the reason we're doing it is it may help you, if you haven't yet come to Jesus, it may help you to identify where you're at. But also for the rest of us who know Jesus and who follow Jesus, it will help us too as we pray for our families and our friends to identify where they're at and pray for them in a different way perhaps or in a fresh way. So the first one is this, a settled lifestyle. Bartimaeus knew who he was and he knew what he would be. He was blind and he was a beggar. Same routine each day. Get up. Go to the roadside, start begging, come home, go to bed, get up the next day. Routine. That was his lifestyle, a settled routine. Not too different from some of us, to be quite honest. We might not be begging, but we have routines in our lives, don't we? Settled, comfortable, daily routine, we're used to it. And you know, a settled routine can be a blessing. There's a rhythm to it. But it can also create a huge obstacle, a huge problem. It can stop you imagining that life could be different. It can stop you imagining what could be. It can stop you reaching out for something better. And that's one of the dangers, isn't it, of living in an affluent society where folk are comfortable. And there's a security in that. And that can be a barrier to reaching out for something else. And I would say this, if your daily routine has been disturbed over these past months or even maybe longer, somehow it's been disturbed, see it as a blessing. See it as an opportunity to look through a different lens. And that's what I'm inviting you to do today. Look through a different lens at your life. Second stage is a new possibility. A new possibility. One day he hears a crowd going by. And so he asks the question, what's going on? What's happening? Can't see, so he has to ask. What does this crowd mean? And you know, every crowd means something. Where you get a crowd, there's a meaning behind it. We're a crowd in a sense this morning in church. And there's a meaning behind that. We haven't come just to pass an hour because we're bored. We've come here to worship, come here to meet with each other, to meet with God. There's meaning in a crowd. So what's going on? You know, it's good to be curious, isn't it? It's good to ask questions. That's how we learn. One of my distant cousins once said that we learn more from those we disagree with than those we agree with. It's good to ask questions, even though the answer you get you mightn't like it, but you might learn something different. You might at least have to evaluate something. So don't be afraid to ask questions. So we ask this question, and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what his reaction is? He doesn't say, oh dear, a crowd, loads of dust, I'll have to wash and shower extra this evening when I get home. He doesn't think like that, no. He thinks outside the box. He sees it as an opportunity. He sees that this is a moment, this is my moment. He sees a bigger picture. He also senses an urgency because Jesus is passing by. He's gone his way to Jerusalem. He's not going to stay long in Jericho. And this is a moment to seize. If he misses this, he could have missed it forever. So what does he do? What does he do? He yells. He yells at the top of his voice. What else could a blind beggar do but yell out? He yells out at the top of his voice. And you know what he cries for? He cries for mercy. He cries for mercy. But did you notice what he did? They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. But when he calls out, he doesn't say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he's got a hold of something. He's heard something. Where did he get this idea from, Jesus, Son of David? And what's the difference between Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus, Son of David? Well, Jesus, Son of David, is a messianic, or Son of David, rather, is a messianic title. It's a messianic title. And so it would seem in his understanding that he's moved from just seeing Jesus as somebody who comes from the village of Nazareth, as somebody actually a bit different, a bit more special. And you know, as he sat there by the wayside begging, he would have heard lots of stories. Of course he would. He would have met people every day, and they would have carried stories. And you see, Jericho and Bethany is not that far from each other. And Bethany was where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead sometime before. So a story like that would have traveled. And so this man has got a hold of a glimpse of something or someone who could make a difference. And folks, do you see that? Do you see that in Jesus as someone who can make a difference? Affect a huge difference. That's important. And this is what Bartimaeus has got a hold of. Somebody who can make a difference. You know, Jesus makes a difference because he's unique. He's unique. And we may have heard that Jesus, you know, is a great role model, or even that Jesus is a prophet. But you know, the Jesus we worship is far more than that. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Lord. He's the one who can make a difference in our lives. Third stage, challenge. And there's always a challenge, isn't there? There's always a challenge. It's the crowd. The crowd seek to silence them, to shut them up. And you know, crowds do that kind of thing. They try to shut you up. Especially if you're moving in an opposite direction to the crowd. They'll try and stop you. See you as a nuisance. Somebody who's out of sync with what's going on. And we can expect that. He's oppressed here by the crowd who want to silence him. And this is an important reality check, isn't it, for us as we pray for folk. You see, there's always a crowd of some sort in everybody's life. Could be the crowd at work. Could be the family. Could be a husband or a wife. Could be the folk at school, college. There's a crowd that stands in the way. They represent a majority that's going in a different direction. And so when you try to reach out to Jesus, you encounter the crowd and you encounter opposition. That's what makes it a challenge. And Bartimaeus has to face that. He has to face this challenge. But you know, he does the right thing. He doesn't let this crowd put him off. Why does he not? I think because his situation, he realized, is desperate. And if he doesn't get to Jesus, there is no other hope. He needs to get there. And that's what you'll need, folk. If you haven't yet come to Jesus, you'll need that kind of determination to not be put off by the crowd, whoever they are. It killed my Christian life for years, the crowd at school, not wanting to be different. We have to dare to be different. And Bartimaeus dares. And you know the amazing thing? Jesus stops. In spite of all the kerfuffle that's going on, all the noise and all the bustle, and everything is around, Jesus stops. He stops. And you know, that's the good news, isn't it? Jesus stops. And let me tell you this. Jesus will stop for you if you call out. He'll hear. Call out to him. Stage four. There's a straight question asked. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Now, does that seem not a bit of a kind of ridiculous question to ask? What do you want me to do for you? Seems obvious. In the Middle East, a beggar offered his services to the community. He offered them an opportunity to give alms to the poor. That was what Bartimaeus did. And it was interpreted, as you give alms to the poor, it was interpreted as if you were giving alms to God. So a beggar had a very useful role in society. And so this is not, the answer to this question isn't as obvious as you think. What do you want me to do for you? You see, to be in a successful beggar, you had to have really something wrong with you that was visible. That was the best sort of thing to have. Because people could immediately see that person's blind and they would give. But what if you're healed? What if you're healed? You have no skills. You have no work record. What are you going to do? So it wasn't a daft question. What do you want me to do for you? Think, Bartimaeus. You see, if grace, the grace of God in Jesus Christ touches your life, you will be different, and life will be different. It will not be the same as it was. And with grace comes responsibility. With grace comes a challenge. Grace will bring you freedom, but freedom will mean change. Are we ready for that? Are you ready for that? Maybe that's what's been stopping you all these years as you've sat in church here listening to the gospel over many ministries, many great preachers in this pulpit. You know it's true. Somehow you're stuck. And maybe it's at this point. Grace will make a difference. It will mean change. It is like being born again. As Jesus explained to Nicodemus, it's a new creation event. You see, Jesus is not just somebody who comes along offering new ideas or new thoughts. No. He's the Savior who saves, who transforms, who liberates, who sets you on a new journey, a new road, the road of grace, the road of mercy, the road of freedom. And it's a different road from what you've been on. So what will Bartimaeus do? Well, he does the right thing, doesn't he? Stage five. He takes that new direction. He comes, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. Now you might say, well, sure, it's obvious. Get your sight back, wonderful thing. Physical sight. Let me tell you this. Spiritual sight is even more fantastic than that. To be able to see through new eyes, as it were. To be able to see and understand That happened to me many years ago, and it was like a revolution. Being able to read the Bible and it speak to you. Being able to pray and have a sense that God was listening. The whole dynamic there, spiritual sight, spiritual transformation. That's what Jesus is about. And Bartimaeus, he closes in with it. And we find him on a new journey, a new direction. He leaves the familiar, he lets it go, the old wagon roll goes. And he takes a new road, he follows Jesus in the way. And it's the way of the cross. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. It's thought that we know Bartimaeus' name. Mark gives us his name. It's thought that we know his name because Mark used his name in his gospel because he was known. He would have been known to Mark's readers. And that would be an indication, if that's so. That would be an indication that Bartimaeus really did not just receive physical sight, but continue to follow Jesus and become a disciple. So let me finish. I want to say three things, pick out three people, and I'm finished. First one is Jesus. Three people in the story. Jesus. Jesus is the only one who has 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision. He has the power to open the eyes of the blind. Of course he does. But he's also got the power to see what others don't see. He sees, or he hears, and he sees one man in the midst of a multitude. And that's good news, friend, for you. He sees you today. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, in your heart, he sees. And in the book of Revelation, as Jesus writes to the seven churches that are going through huge trials and difficulties in some of those places in Revelation, the two words that come again and again in the seven letters in Revelation are two words, and they're these. I know, I know. Jesus knows where you're at and what's going on. He sees his 20/20 vision. The blind man, one person in need of help. One person in need of help. Desperately looking, desperately searching. And friend, if that's you this morning, you've been desperately trying, desperately looking for some time. Take courage from this story of Bartimaeus. Jesus just waits for you to come and respond. And what about us? Those of us who know Jesus, the disciples, we call ourselves. In the story, the first part of what we read, the disciples didn't grasp, did they, fully what was going on. And it's a reminder that we do need, as the people of God, insight. We do need spiritual understanding. We need discernment. You know that, and I know that. Of course you do. But daily we need it, don't we? We need insight. We need the insight sometimes to realign our lives, even though we've been following Jesus for many years, to realign our lives with the plans and purposes of God, and not just be doing our own thing. That's important, to be lined up with what God wants. The second thing I think we need to see people as Jesus sees them. See people as Jesus sees them. The crowd saw Bartimaeus as a nuisance. Jesus saw it totally differently. Seeing people in need of God's mercy and grace. And the last thing, we need to see ourselves as Jesus sees us. You know, sometimes we beat ourselves up. We don't really see ourselves as Jesus sees us. Loved, welcomed, part of the family, belonging. That's who we are, the people of God. Those who have come into his family. What a privilege. But with privilege comes responsibility, doesn't it? Just like Jesus said, we need to be about our Father's business. So God bless these words, these few words that we've shared. Let me pray and then we'll sing a closing praise.